Hello and welcome to another edition of Basketball. I'm Sean Woodley.
I'm Katie Heindel.
And today's show is brought to you, of course, by Rasheed Wallace, who on this day in 2004 re-signed with the Detroit Pistons to a five-year contract worth just a piddly $57 million. I gotta say, after winning a title, Sheed should have been in line for 25, 30, 50 million. I don't even know if the salary cap was in place at this point, but the Pistons got themselves a great deal in Rasheed Wallace at 5 years, 57. Katie, how are you?
I'm okay.
By the way, just a heads up to those listening today as I record. I'm in a different location than I usually would be. There's some drilling going on at my apartment, so I had to relocate to my father-in-law's empty office, which is very empty and thus very echoey and cavernous. So apologies if I'm sounding a little more sort of like I'm speaking into a canyon than usual. But that just wanted to get out of the way if people are confused as to why things sound weird. You were going to say something, Katie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't ever, I was going to say often, but I don't ever want to start the show by talking about Jason Kidd. But I just did see something that I feel like is worth mentioning. And that's apparently, what is it? I guess when he was coaching the Bucks and Thon Maker was on the team, Thon Maker didn't have an iPhone. And when Jason Kidd found out, he made everybody run crazy laps because he thought that him not having an iPhone was bad for, like, team chemistry.
What the fuck?
What a lunatic.
Yeah. Stop hiring this man to do jobs for you. Terrible call. He got hired with Dallas, right? I'm not crazy. And that actually happened recently.
Yeah, he's the head coach.
He's Dallas's new head coach. Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. What an insane decision. Just ridiculous.
And now he's going to make, because Mark Cuban's obsessed with NFTs. So now he's going to do the same thing. If the Mavs don't have, whatever player doesn't have an NFT, they're going to have to run laps.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking now at the Mavericks roster. Who do you think is the most likely to not have an iPhone among these guys and thus
Luka?
Face the wrath of Jason Terry? Yeah, Luka.
I just feel like he's too Euro, you know? They don't really give a shit. Like, I just don't think Luka gives a shit.
The world?
Oh, yeah. I'm not like they don't have them. I think he just, like, doesn't care about.
Doesn't often bring his. Doesn't have iMessage turned on.
He has, like, an iPhone 6 or 7, you know? He doesn't.
Okay.
What does he care?
Yeah, I could see him having what I call Sean's dad syndrome, where he has an iPhone but has not turned on iMessage. He doesn't even know what iMessage is, and so all of his texts are green, even though, like, I know he has an iPhone. I'm like, Dad, you can turn this on. He's like, I don't want to. It's too much. It's too hard. I could see Luka kind of having that vibe related to his iPhone. So, yeah, good point. Doesn't bode well for the Luka Jason Kidd partnership. And frankly, I'm glad to hear that maybe there's going to be a rift from the beginning in this hypothetical world we've concocted. Katie, we've got a loaded show today. The season is over. The season from hell has finished, and the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions. We're going to just sort of have a finals decompress in the first segment and kind of dig into all of our feelings and thoughts on what went down in the finals. Of course, Giannis wins finals MVP, has an absolutely ridiculous clinching game with 50 points, and really just a lot of cool stuff went down in that game last night that we will get to. I don't know. We got a lot to get into. Anything like before we get into the meat of the show, Katie, that you want to get off your chest? I know you got glasses this week. That was a thing.
I picked them up on Saturday. That's cool.
Nice.
I also got a haircut, so I feel like I got a new lease on life, which is great. Everything's
that's good.
Great.
You still feel like you're living in a... I remember texting you earlier this week with some glasses knowledge as a longtime glasses wearer because you seemed concerned about the fact that you felt like you were in a fishbowl for a while. Are you still going through fishbowl syndrome, or are you through that?
I don't wear them all the time. Like, I only really wear them for distance.
Sure.
So I was wearing them to play video games, and then I was wearing them to watch a movie. Like, I don't really need to, but I was like, oh, this would be good practice for my eyeballs to get used to it. But because I don't wear them other times, I'm just worried that I'm ever going to adjust.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm still rooting for you, Katie. I believe it'll happen. I currently have the inverse going on, or my contacts are a different prescription from my glasses, and I wear my contacts when I like go work out or something. And I find myself feeling very weird, and probably it's unsafe to be like biking around the town with contacts that are a lesser prescription than they should be. But, you know, I made it work, and I'm sure you'll make it work as well too. That's been eyewear talk here on a basketball. Let's get into the finals, Katie. They wrapped up last night. They were super fun. We'll get to that in just 1 second here, on a basketball. It's a very strange edition. Basketball's over. We'll dig into all of it and what it means in just a second.
It's over. The Bucks have done it. The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
All right, Katie, as teased before the break, as I did not land the plane whatsoever on that transition, it is time to talk about the end of the NBA Finals. The Milwaukee Bucks are your 2021 NBA champions after beating the Phoenix Suns in 6 games, winning 4 straight after going down 2-0. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 50 points on, I think, 16 of 25 shooting in the final game, had like 6 blocks, was just everywhere. As some people pointed out on Twitter, he basically realized that he's Shaq, but if Shaq could dribble, and he really made use of that on the road to winning his first NBA title, his first Finals MVP, and really quickly assembling a resume that is all-time level stuff. Katie, I'm sure you watched Game 6 last night. What was your response to the game? Did you enjoy the game? The game, I thought, was fucking awesome, and I'm very sad that we don't get another one of those games, but also pretty happy for Giannis in particular, as well as the Bucks, for pulling off their first title in 50 freaking years.
Yeah, I'm pretty sad for the Suns. I'll be honest, I thought that this was going to go to 7 games. A part of me, a little part of me I am not proud of, was kind of disappointed that the Bucks got to win at home when they had the chance, because I was reminded when the Raptors did not in the very cursed game, but that's okay. Yeah, it was good. I would say that until it really came alive after the half, and the Bucks have been doing this thing. They did it probably all series, I think. And just shutting it down, like really closing it down in the last like 7 to 5 minutes. I did start to feel a little bit awkward and also stressed for the Suns because they seemed to unravel in real time. Like they were just really like running around loose. Mikal Bridges was running into the stanchion. The ball was kind of going everywhere. The Bucks were getting a lot of steals, you know, and tipping it away whenever they could. So I guess you saw some of the inexperience of the Suns coming through, and that made me feel a little bit bummed out for them, because I thought to a degree some of like these teams are fairly evenly matched, and now I don't think that at all. I think, yeah, this is definitely in retrospect, but I think this is where the Bucks were headed all season.
See, I kind of disagree with that. I think the Suns were very much just as good as the Bucks in a lot of ways. I think the fact that Chris Paul very clearly like couldn't use his hand in a lot of, like, kind of affected things. I mean, it's rare you see him just like dribble and then have the ball spill out of his hands into the arms of an opposing defender. And I feel really, really bad for him. This was very clearly his best shot. You know, we don't need to really dig into next season yet, but the Suns are going to be good, you would assume, if they can bring Chris Paul back, but he's going to be 37 next year, and the Western Conference ain't getting any easier, and the chips really did sort of fall in a very fortuitous way for the Suns this year. So who knows if Chris Paul's going to get back there. I kind of hope he just goes ring chasing now as a free agent, signs like with a minimum with some loaded team, and I root for him there. But yeah, it's tough. I feel really bad for the Suns because I think they were a freaking awesome team. And it just so happened that in that game, you know, DeAndre Ayton got foul trouble. He, you know, kind of had his first like bad game of the entire playoffs. And it's a bummer that it kind of went out on that note as well. But The thing I found so impressive about this Bucks win, and particularly Giannis more than anything else, is that I never really did feel like the Bucks were their full sort of elite selves. Like, I was more scared of the 2019 Bucks watching them. And yes, my team was involved in it and they played them, so maybe there's some bias built in there, but I thought that team was just a buzzsaw. This year's team, like, didn't feel like they ever really hit that peak level where they're just mowing down opponents with ease. But I think it's almost a more impressive championship because of that. Like, they were down 0-2 against the Nets. They looked absolutely lost in that series. And yeah, injury kind of helped them, but they also kind of found a way to make it work. And, you know, the Hawks series, they're down 0-1. They figured that out as it goes along. Like, it was sort of like when you pick up a video game and you have to sort of learn the difficulty level and then kind of figure it out as you go. It's not always going to be smooth on your way there, but eventually you kind of bust through. Kind of is what I thought was this Bucks run in a lot of ways. And, you know, I rarely ever trusted them. I always kind of felt like, okay, some offensive spell where they're going to miss 9 shots in a row is going to come and it's going to sewer them. And some of those spells did come, but as you mentioned, their defense was so freaking good and just smothering in the back half of game 6 in particular. And then Giannis was just like so beyond any of his own team's struggles. Like, even when Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday had bad shooting nights, Giannis is there doing insane, otherworldly things. And I'm blown away by how impressed I am, because they didn't feel to me like a preordained champion in any way. It was more Giannis just kind of saying, all right, fuck it, it's mine now. I'm doing it and I'm taking advantage of this, you know, the way things are broken for me. And I'm not going to let this slip away. And like, the fact that he went 17 of 19 from the free throw line in the last game, it was, you know, it's sort of one of those things where it's kind of playing beyond what I think their actual sort of, you know, overall sort of talent or skill level was. And that, you know, it didn't matter because Giannis was like fucking a goddamn superhero. And it was amazing. I'm so happy for Giannis. I'm just so freaking thrilled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to point out, though, when I say like an inevitability, I didn't mean that they had it together all season. I think actually the fact that they wobbled a little bit made me believe in them more, because what the pattern had been in seasons past was the team would play exceptionally well and look exceptional and unbeatable throughout the regular season and then crumple, you know, in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And that's not really what happened. They did the thing that I think a team has to do to survive in the playoffs, which is evolve with every game. And then they evolved, I think, or first with every series, and then I think they evolved with every game in this final series, and the Suns didn't. And I think that was what was best proven in those last crunch minutes, you know, like Giannis becoming a clutch player, the entire roster kind of becoming a clutch player in the sense that they became really fluid with one another in a way that was lacking in seasons past. You know, Chris Middleton would have a game. Drew Holiday would have a game. PJ Tucker would kind of come in and do these little intangible things that they needed, but they learned to make space for each other. And I don't think they'd ever really done that before, like in terms of playing as a team and understanding the flow of a game and not getting frustrated, especially Coach Bud. Like, it's crazy to be like, yeah, Coach Bud's now a clutch coach, but he is too, because I think there were real stretches in this series where he didn't panic when like Devin Booker would get hot, you know, when Chris Paul would get super disruptive, or like Ayton would just, you know, make it look like things were kind of crumpling in real time, you know, on the defensive end, but he just stayed with it. So I'm happy to see this ascension, because I wasn't entirely sure when they would get here, because when you have what, 3 seasons prior of kind of falling apart in the exact same way, you start to wonder like, all right, like maybe this is what this team is built for. Because a couple of the guys change, but otherwise, you know, you've got sort of your core personnel. I also want to say how much I really love Chris Middleton now, because I've realized how much of just like a regular dude he is. Like, I did a deep dive on his Instagram the other day, and he's just the most normal dude. Yeah. And like Bobby, liking Bobby Portis a lot is not where I thought I would be. the end of this either.
Yeah, he really had himself a turnaround in these playoffs, man.
When he said, when he was interviewed like last night after they won, and he said how basically depressed he was at the end of last season. You know, he like moved home to spend time and like be with his mom. But he said, like, I was super depressed. I didn't know. Like, I didn't go to the bubble. I didn't know really what was next for me. And him landing there, I don't know. It's like, it's really hard not to like this team, like every person on this team, even Pat Connaughton, because I saw then Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton being interviewed last night. It's so weird that they make them stick around and like be interviewed for an hour and a half or something after they won, because one, those two obviously had had a lot of champagne. And then when they were asked how much champagne they had, they just laughed for like 20 seconds. They just couldn't stop laughing. But I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, those post-game things are a delight. Yeah, the Bucks were, you know, I think I went in with sort of preconceived notions to not like the Bucks, just because there's like some history with the team that I like there. And, you know, there's the, you know, it's probably sort of very superficial reasons not to, because like objectively, Jrue Holiday, incredibly likable, amazing story, you know, had his ups and downs, was like the first casualty of the process all the way back earlier in the decade. Has some moments with the Pelicans, but can't quite break through, has personal strife and struggles. And then, you know, he's kind of like clowned a little bit, or at least the trade is clowned when he goes to the Bucks, because the Bucks had given up so much for the future. And it was sort of like, oh, look how desperate they are to keep Giannis type of thing. And he was awesome. Even in the nights where he had the horrible shooting nights, he was defending Chris Paul full court. He was, you know, chipping in with big offensive nights, timely ones here and there. I think game five, he was particularly awesome. So really happy for Jrue Holiday. I don't know how you can't just be unbelievably thrilled for Giannis. And, you know, because it was sort of starting, right? We've seen this movie before with like top of the league stars before they win their first title. It's so predictable and boring at this point to sort of question their ability and question whether or not they can be the lead dog. And, you know, it's, oh, LeBron, is LeBron not clutch or whatever? Does he have the clutch gene? It's all the same bullshit you get with all the same, you know, level superstars. And I'm glad that that's squashed really quick. You know, he wins a title a year earlier than LeBron did into his career. That's pretty damn cool. And just the joy that he was exhibiting. And I guess the fact too, I mean, I know Raptors fans in particular, and, you know, Warriors and Mavericks and Heat fans were all sort of lusting over the idea of the potential of signing Giannis away, but it's just undeniably awesome. And I think incredible for the league itself that he did stay and said, you know what, I'm going to actually uphold what I said in my tweets in 2014 when I said I wasn't going to leave until we were a championship level team, and actually do it. It's, he's such a unique one of one superstar in that regard too, especially in the player empowerment era where it's constantly like, okay, where's this guy going next? It's never about where the guy is now. And it's just undeniably awesome that Giannis did the thing and kind of lived up to his word and was able to pull it off. And I'm even happy for Bucks fans. I, you know, had some spats with Bucks fans over the years, I'm sure. And it's been kind of an ongoing sort of strange online rivalry, even more than like an on the court rivalry. But as the Bucks fans were celebrating last night, and as the Bucks were winning it, all I could think about was how happy and like delirious I was when the Raptors came through and won it. And like, how can you feel anything other than just complete another joy for the people who get to experience that thing too? It's such a like unmatchable feeling, unlike anything else, when your team, especially after like some serious, you know, doldrums and, you know, a long stretch of not being relevant and then a stretch of being relevant, but always coming short and being kind of the whipping boys of just like the slander brigade, for the Bucks to kind of break through. It's just, I couldn't help but feel like, yeah, I know what that feels like. And I'm glad other people are feeling that too, because that is a kick-ass feeling that I want everyone to feel at some point, except for Celtics fans. do you have any, you know, you wrote in our rundown here, asking the question, are the Bucks the most likable overall champion in NBA team history? That's an interesting one. I haven't really thought about that, but where do you come down on that?
Well, I was arguing about this in real time with Sean and Joey last night, because that's sure what they said. And I thought it was kind of interesting, because they were looking at, obviously I was like, what about the Raptors? But I think, you know, in their opinions, what detracted from that was that it couldn't happen with DeMar and that you had to separate kind of like two best friends to make it happen, which
obviously was a selling of the soul of sorts. Yes.
Yeah. Which obviously is going to bring some bring some pretty strong numbers to the negative column for that. I mean, overall, we're very biased, but I don't know. I was curious, like they're not this Bucks team. I'm so happy for like PJ Tucker. I just can't think of anyone I'm not happy for, you know, PJ Tucker. Yeah. I am just thrilled for PJ Tucker beat in this playoffs alone every single person he played with on the Rockets.
I didn't think about that.
Like, which is amazing because of where they all ended up, you know, this season. I think that's super cool. I don't think PJ Tucker's not a revenge guy, but I still like that. Yeah, you've got obviously the redemption story of Bobby Portis. Redemption of just like even, I mean, in his own mind, where he thought he would go and could probably go. This team has made Brook Lopez likable to me. I already talked about Middleton, like Giannis, obviously, Holiday. I think that's just, I never didn't believe in him. And I thought it was pretty rude when the big questions were swirling around, like whether or not he, quote, had it, you know? Because obviously he did. It was just going to be a situational thing. Yeah, all these dudes. I don't know. I likability obviously shifts from season to season and I think is beholden to the season that the team exists in and what the backdrop is and what's going on there. So in that sense of this kind of uniquely hellish season, I do think that the Suns and the Bucks are both really likable teams.
Wonderful finals.
Kindness finals at the end of the season, I think is, if it wasn't so sad, it would be a great irony, but I'll just take that it's like mostly a happy thing. And when Adam Silver, Nosferatu kind of slunk out onto the court last night and said, what did he say? Something just about like perseverance or something, like blah blah blah, like the perseverance it took to get here, when it's like, okay buddy, like you made that call, it was still you that made that call to do this. But to see him kind of get these finals, if in fact like it is something that, to see both those teams in this position goes against what someone in Silver's position would have ultimately wanted. Like, I'm not really 100% sold that he cares either way, that like, say LeBron isn't in the finals every year.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know. It was just like a nice arc for both of these teams. And I think I know we're going to talk about this more probably next week in terms of our summary and thoughts of the whole season. But I do think getting this matchup at the end of it was weirdly bittersweet.
Yeah, yeah. I think like the final series itself, like after the first couple of games, every game kicked ass. Like super compelling stuff. Real grimy basketball. As Larry Nance Jr., who was on the Zach Lowe, Brian Windhorst recap podcast last night, said, it was just gross, but in the best possible way. It was a delight to watch. The two teams, super likable. Lots of reasons to root for both sides as well. And I think the thing about the Bucks win that is really cool, too, is like basically every previous playoff demon they had was exercised over the course of the last four games. Like from the Giannis free throw thing coming to a conclusion with him winning the game at the line, basically going 17-19 in game six, to the Mike Budenholzer, this dude is so stubborn, can't make any changes, is a moron, like completely overhauling the Bucks defense and changing things, you know, as compared to how the things went in the first two games, where it was Devin Booker and Chris Paul just hitting mid-range shot after mid-range shot. And usually you'd see Mike Budenholzer not make much of a change. And then he completely altered things. They took away the mid-range and it just became like there was nothing out there for the Suns. You had Chris Middleton, who, you know, I've done my fair share of Chris Bottomton tweets talking about, you know, his shortcomings in playoffs past, like being an absolute killer with the tough shot making that you absolutely need. that was all there too. And then, you know, the fact even that their most embarrassing playoff loss, or one of their most embarrassing playoff losses, came after going up 2-0 and then losing four straight, similar to what they've done to the inverse in the finals. Like, that's totally redeemed as well. You know, I guess there's still the Heat demon out there that hasn't really been exercised, aside from the fact that they beat the shit out of the Heat this year, and maybe that counts for it enough. I guess it probably does. You know, it's everything that had gone wrong was rectified in, like, the complete opposite way on this run, and that's really cool. As far as whether they're the most likable, you know, I can't go back really further than, you know, 15, 20 years, just in terms of my recollection of things. I'm sure some of those Jordan teams were likable. I'm sure some of them were super hateable. I'm sure those Rockets teams that won in the baseball years for Jordan were pretty cool. As far as, like, ones I was sentient as a basketball observer for, you know, I think the Raptors were undeniably likable. Lots of really interesting stories there. A brand new champion. Everyone loves brand new fresh blood. I think the 16 Cavs team was super likable, maybe just because of the finals and, like, the comeback. Maybe it was less about the individual personalities, but I think there was a lot to like there. You know, the first Warriors team was really cool too. That was before the Warriors got lame and went and got Kevin Durant and everyone started to hate them, but they came out of nowhere in 2015 and were incredible. And then even, I guess my point here is, a lot of really recent fun and likable champions, like the 14 Spurs on the whole redemption tour after losing in the finals the year before. You got the Mavs minus Jason Kidd. That was a fun team. Like, the last decade or so, we've been kind of blessed with some sick-ass champions, Katie, is what I'm realizing here. So, yeah, I think it's tough to make the comparison, but this Bucks team certainly has a lot going for it in that conversation, I think.
Yeah.
Do you have any parting shots on the finals, Katie, before we move into the next segment here and get into the discourse of the week, non-finals division on NBA internet?
No, I mean, I'm glad it's over. I can't say how happy I am that the season's done. Nothing to do with work, because nothing slows down for me, but I do like the feeling of, like, oh, I can just read in bed again. Don't have to be aware of, like, what a game schedule is. I mean, and I know this is, like, a complaint that as a basketball fan you're lucky to have, but the playoffs did feel extremely long. The season felt both, like, rushed and crammed and very long. I just didn't feel great. So I'm happy for this breather. I hope every NBA player takes a nice long vacation. And then I hope we can just chill for maybe a couple weeks, but I know that's not gonna happen.
Hate to break it to you, but the draft is a week from the airing of this podcast. We're recording this on Wednesday, by the way. I don't know if we specified that, but we're recording it on Wednesday. The free agency starts in less than 2 weeks as well. It's going to be a fucking madhouse for the next couple of weeks, but then hopefully we can all have some R&R and also read in our own beds. That would be lovely. On the other side, Katie, we're going to get into the segment we're trying out this week. And I don't know how we could do anything but a segment called Hooper or Basketball Player based on the discourse on NBA internet this week. I think you're still a little bit in the dark as to how this all came about and took over everybody's timelines for a good stretch of time. So we'll get into that. We'll get into the origin story, and we will run back through the history of NBA Finals MVP winners and determine whether or not they were hoopers or basketball players. That's coming up in just 1 second. All right, we've reached the segment we're trying out this week, and of course this segment is called Hooper or Basketball Player, because how could it be anything but, Katie? This week, the entire NBA internet, a very strange place on a good day, became even stranger when Rashad Phillips of The Voice of the Unheard, I think is the name of the show, also a podcast called Yoda Talk. I'm really confused as to what Rashad Phillips's professional affiliations are, but either way, he's an NBA internet guy. He posts some dumb takes sometimes, but he had a take this week that really, really sent NBA Twitter for a loop on the two-day break between finals games 5 and 6. He had a tweet, a thread of tweets. I'll begin here, Katie. @RP3Natural, Rashad Phillips, he tweets, "A lot of people can hoop, but not a lot of people can play basketball. It's a huge difference. Rare players can do both. #Yoda. I don't know what the Yoda thing is all about, but there we go. The next tweet followed up, "There are 5 guys that knew how to hoop and play basketball. This combination leads to a more exciting player. Basketball players aren't as exciting, but still productive. Tim Duncan was a basketball player, but not a hooper." Some real galaxy brain shit. The 5 guys that he's referenced, by the way, are in an image. It is Allen Iverson, Kevin Durant, Jamal Crawford, Kevin Garnett, and Kyrie Irving. Then we get into, "These 4 players are only basketball players, still productive, still dominant, tons of records and MVPs, but not hoopers. And those players are Tim Duncan, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Klay Thompson, and John Stockton, noted anti-vaxxer." That's where the tweet thread ends. Katie, in a way, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. In another way, it's maybe the clearest I've ever seen basketball. Where are you on the basketball versus hoopers conversation? Is Rashad Phillips onto anything with this theory?
So this is the first I'm hearing about this. I saw it. I have to say I saw it. And when I asked if, like, I was like, maybe we could do that something about this in the show, you admitted that you thought it might be too internet and insular and something I wouldn't want to do because, to be fair, I've said that to you a few times.
You're less online than I am, and that's a good thing for you.
Bring ideas about being online. We already are in the vacuum all the time anyway. Yep. Sometimes I like to step away from the vacuum.
Sure.
You know, we don't need to live there all the time. Empty the vacuum bag. But I suppose, like, I understand what he's getting at. I'm not confused about that, but something like this and like thought exercises like this are so inevitably personal. Mm-hmm. And the bias is all about what you watch for. Yeah. And how you watch basketball and what impresses you and what you think is technically difficult, you know, versus just visually a feat. And that's going to vary from person to person based on everything from just like, yeah, like your own experience, whether you played, whether you just like watching basketball, the way that you interpret it, even like your emotions at the time, whether you don't like a player. Like, this is so, it's just one of those things that I get the distinction that he's trying to make, but this is kind of an impossible distinction because no two people are really going to land on the same thing for the same, and if they do, it won't be for the same reasons.
Yeah, it's also just like a strange, very exclusive binary thing that you know, Twitter is really good at, and you know, that's the place to go to get your binary arguments, but it leaves no room at all.
The basis is that gray. Hoopers are stylistically, like, visually more interesting to watch, and basketball players are more technically proficient. Is,
yes,
this right?
I think that's kind of what he's getting at. But I would argue that, like, Giannis Antetokounmpo being on the hooper-only side of the ledger, I mean, yes, his aesthetics are nice, but I wouldn't say, like, he very much goes like through fundamentals. It's like, fundamentals, why do I need fundamentals when I'm me? And he kind of just like powers through the basic construct of the very sort of thing I think this guy's trying to get across. Whereas, like, mm-hmm. to be both a hooper and a basketball player feels like you have to be kind of on some sort of different sort of plane of cerebral understanding of the game. And, you know, maybe it's fair to say Allen Iverson and Jamal Crawford, Kevin Garnett, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving are all there. I just wouldn't compare those 5 players in any way being similar at all. There's no through line between those 5 players, yet they hit his criteria for being both hooper and basketball player, which is, again, kind of to the point that it's a very difficult exercise to pin down, and everyone's going to have a different view on it, I suppose. I also think, you know, I've been thinking a lot, I've been watching a lot of basketball and thinking about sort of, you know, players I like and kind of realizing the new wave of players and guys I'm kind of hitching my wagon to and thinking about sort of the stylistic elements of it all. And I kind of like the idea of having this sort of distinction in a way. Like I said, in a roundabout way, I've maybe never seen a clearer distillation of basketball analysis than this. I just, maybe his opinions are not ones I agree with, but I think I can almost get on board with him. And maybe that makes me an insane person, but there's something about the simplicity and elegance of the system that I kind of appreciate, even if I can't get on board with his reasoning in a lot of these situations. With okay. that, Katie, if you have nothing else on the sort of setup of the system here, we're going to go back through NBA Finals history and probably prove our point that there will be no agreement on who is a hooper and who is a basketball player and who is both, who's right in the middle of that beautiful Venn diagram. We're going to go back through Finals MVPs between 2021 and the year 2000 and determine who, in fact, is a hooper and who is a basketball player, who is both, and maybe who is neither. I didn't think that would be an option, but it might be one. So we're going to do that. We're going to start in 2021, Katie, and we're just going to go our way back in hooper or basketball player. Thank you, Rashad Phillips, for this lovely, sweet, juicy content that I'm sure will trend widely because it's just the topic of the day. Katie, let's start with the most recent MVP of the finals, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Is he a hooper or a basketball player? Rashad Phillips says he's just a hooper. Wait. Just a basketball player? Yeah, he's just a basketball player. I'm so confused. What is Giannis, Katie? Hooper or basketball player? Both or neither?
Well, this is imperfect already because we're yep. just assigning our own what we both said.
Sure, yeah.
Is the definition of both of those things.
We're proving our own thesis.
I mean, I guess I'm going to agree with the
exercise.
The guy. I think that he's a basketball player.
See, I think he's a hooper.
I don't find... Aside from his like physicality, mm-hmm. which does make his game incredibly unique and his own, mm-hmm. And makes him able to do like incredible things, I wouldn't say that stylistically I'd assign a hooper label to Giannis, you know? Mm-hmm. Not to say he exists only within like some tight boundaries,
sure.
Or like boundaries of the game or whatever. And I don't think he's also that concerned, as you said earlier, with fundamentals. But yeah, I just, he's a basketball player to me.
See, to me, he's a hooper.
I don't mean that as a slight.
Yeah, that's. I don't think it was. I don't think either is a slight in this context. Maybe it is. I don't know. But Tim Duncan's a basketball player and Tim Duncan rocks. So it feels like it's probably an all right thing to be. I'm going hooper with Giannis because... I'm thinking of the sort of players who sort of mirror his style, even at different sizes, right? Like I think of Russell Westbrook, for example, when I watch Giannis. It's just Giannis is 9 inches taller and just an absolute freak. But kind of like the sort of thing I think about with a hooper is it's more of like a hammer and nail situation. Like there is nail, I do hammer and I conquer. Whereas I feel like a basketball player is more like, all right, give me the perfect tip for the screwdriver, and I will delicately drive this in with a deft touch. And Giannis is not someone who I would say is like a deft touch screwdriver guy. He's a hammer guy. And for some reason, that seems more hooper to me. But again, proven the argument that this is a nonsensical way to set things up right out of the gate. Katie, let's move on to LeBron James. In 2020, there are different iterations of MVP LeBron in the finals as well, of course, but 2020 LeBron, what do you have here as his distinction, hooper or basketball player or both?
This era of LeBron is both, only because I think when you've gone through both, you can't shift back into one or the other.
Sure.
We'll get to the iterations of him, I think, that were either,
mm-hmm.
but by now he's both.
Interesting.
And I would argue he's moving toward neither. not just because he'll be finished playing at someday soon, mm-hmm. But because I think his interests and what propels him like to the game is moving beyond the game.
Can you be a basketball player if you are the star of Space Jam 2, A New Legacy? Who's to say? Maybe not the wisest fundamental decision to take part in that film from all accounts. I haven't seen it yet, Katie, but I hear it's a piece of garbage.
I don't just mean that he's yeah. interested in the pictures. I also mean because I think, you know, he's thinking about things like longevity, yeah. legacy. He's thinking about when his son is going to be in the league and if that's a true thing that he wants to play with him and stay until that happens. Like, these are all the things kind of concerning him. And it's like the way that he wants to go out, which will be mm-hmm. on his own terms, I hope. And I think he mm-hmm. hopes, and he's moving toward that. But he has so many other ventures going on. Like, he has his school. He's just like, he has so many other like business deals. He is Uninterrupted. Like, he's just kind of moguled himself now. Mm-hmm. And in that way, I mean, so not just Space Jam specifically. He has moved beyond these symbol bounds in terms of titles.
Right, right. Yeah, I think both applies to 2020 LeBron. He was fresh. He was lively. He was hooping. But he was also basketball playing. I'm going to agree with you there. We go to 2019, Kawhi Leonard, Katie. Hooper or basketball player, both or neither?
I'd say he was both, because I think he came to the Raptors as a basketball player, as someone whose brain just understands it in a different way than anyone's, I think, mm-hmm. you know. But I'd say by virtue of being around the Raptors and gaining some more semblance, I guess to me, like, Hooper also is going to lean into how much of a personality someone lets you see, mm-hmm. you know. And mm-hmm. we got to see a lot more of that with Kawhi than I had ever had. Based on the way he gelled with guys, based on the way that they interacted with each other. So I'll say both.
I'm going to say Kawhi was a hooper. You know, he was a very empty the clip type player in that postseason run. You know, just kind of the jump shooting, the pull-up three-point shooting, some of his biggest moments, obviously, from that kind of shot. That feels like a hooper thing to me. And I also think, even if there were basketball player elements to Kawhi Leonard, I think the fact that Kyle Lowry is maybe the most basketball player of all time, it kind of diminishes the basketball player highlights of Kawhi. And so I'm going to say Kawhi was pure hooper next to an otherworldly basketball player in Kyle Lowry. But I totally take your points as well that both are present with him. Kevin Durant won back-to-back finals MVPs in 2017 and 18. Hooper or basketball player? Of course, Rashad Phillips views Kevin Durant as a both guy, both hooper and basketball player. One of the rare five who are worthy of that distinction. What do you got?
Yeah, I think he was in 2017 a hooper.
Okay.
And in 2018, I think he was a basketball player because he wasn't as happy. I think he's both now,
yeah,
because you kind of saw him flit in and out of both of those depending on the game, almost even depending on the quarter,
sure.
just in the playoffs alone.
Yep.
And like depending on what his team needed of him. And I guess that's a distinction we haven't talked about, is like how does the team factor into this? Like these valuations, you know, these empty valuations, like, is it, does a hooper or does a basketball player consider where they fit into the makeup of a team, or do they view themselves above it? I'd say about like a hooper might, but a basketball player wouldn't, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, I think he was one of each for either of those years.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with that logic. I think there's certainly a shift between 2017 and 18. 2017, he has that great duel with LeBron and he hits the big shot. That is very hooper shit to me. And then it becomes more of a sort of cerebral thing going into 2018. I think you're very much onto something there. We move to 2016 LeBron James in the finals, of course, driving that 3-1 comeback. I feel like this is extreme hooper shit. But what do you think with 2016 LeBron?
2016. Oh, when the Cavs. Yeah, that's hooper.
Yeah, that's like throwing all sort of like desire to play with fundamentals and sort of a team sort of oriented approach and saying, we're down 3-1. I got to win this shit and just hooping out. So I think Hooper might be the clearest Hooper on the list, honestly. We went to 2015. Andre Iguodala was, of course, the finals MVP that year, beating out LeBron. LeBron was very close to winning that in the losing effort. Iguodala, interesting choice, kind of a standalone type of player on this list. Not really of the superstar class. Of course, a very good player in his own right. Is he a hooper or a basketball player, Katie?
Honestly, I don't know.
You could be neither.
But it's neither now, and I think that's that sort of
clouding things,
influencing my decision. I'll say basketball player.
Yeah, I would say basketball player too. I think you could do a weird sort of argument and say that the way he played defense in that series against LeBron kind of exuded hooper energy, but I mean, he's just such a smart sort of connective tissue type of player. That feels like basketball player shit to me. He's the one feeding the hoopers, I think. So I'm going to go as well with basketball player for Iguodala. 2014, Kawhi Leonard with the Spurs shuts down LeBron James, really kind of hits the scene for the first time. Basketball player, hooper, neither. What do you got, Katie?
Basketball player.
Yeah, this is basketball player shit too. You know, there was no opportunity really for him to release the full hooper because he was spending all of his time harassing LeBron James with basketball player energy, I think. We can breeze through a few more of these, Katie. LeBron 2012 and 13 back to backs. What do you got for him there, hooper or basketball player?
I'd say 2012 basketball player, 2013 hooper.
Sort of completing, oh, it's like a reverse evolution almost. Interesting.
Well, I guess that depends where you value each.
Sure, yeah.
I wouldn't say one is like an evolution.
That's fair.
Over the other.
Yeah, well, would you say it's fair to suggest that hooper is more of an individualistic sort of archetype, whereas basketball player more sort of part of a team construct? Is that, I think, I kind of feel like that's what the dude's getting at with this original thesis, but maybe I'm misreading that.
Didn't I just already say that?
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, then maybe you did. Sorry, I missed that. But yeah, I think the basketball player into hooper makes a lot of sense as the 2 years for LeBron. 2011 Dirk, Katie. We don't have to go all the way back to 2000, but 2011 Dirk is a particularly interesting one. What do you have for 2011 Dirk?
I think he's like, he's a basketball player on the court, but he's a hooper personality.
Explain that logic, please.
He's just more chill.
Right.
Off court.
Right.
Which I don't know why, but I'm equating that to.
Sure.
Hooper.
Hey, there's no reason to, like, you, nothing matters in terms of the thinking of what makes sense here. It's a nonsensical thing. It's going to be a nonsensical segment. Let's go back through a couple more. We can skip Kobe. That feels like hooper shit. 2008, Paul Pierce. Can't believe he won finals MVP. That's wild. Hooper or basketball player or neither?
Probably a hooper.
I'm going neither. He's a hanger-on to Kevin Garnett being both and Ray Allen being a hooper. And Paul Pierce was just a benefactor. I refuse to give him any sort of credit. let's go back. Interesting one here. Tony Parker, 2007, Katie.
I don't know what, like, Mr. Steal Your Wife is. I'm not sure.
That's a hooper mentality, I think, if... you're stealing wives. That does feel more probably. Hooper than basketball player. I think that's fitting. Let's go to Tim Duncan. He was the topic of Rashad Phillips' thread, of course. Won two finals MVPs, 03 and 05. It feels probably the same for both. Do you agree that he's just a basketball player, Katie? Just a lowly basketball player?
See, you're assigning values now.
No, I think I was trying to assign the value that Rashad Phillips was assigning to Tim Duncan in his tweet thread.
I didn't look at it like that. Like, I don't look at it as one is better than another. And okay. I also don't look at it as if you're both, you're the best. Because I think, again, some of these are just tethered to skill set and the way somebody plays, and you can't look at me like earnestly explaining this, but you can't change some of those things.
Sure.
You know, you're just like beholden to them. A certain, like, it's like you have It's like what your eye color is. I guess you could get contacts.
Where are we going? What is happening?
Yeah, I don't know.
Damn you, Rashad Phillips.
Because Tim Duncan, to me, is like a very cerebral person.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that we've seen him do off court, his interests, like since basketball, when he was playing basketball. But I think maybe I do agree with the guy. Maybe I think he was a basketball player in terms of his like technical proficiency.
Yeah, I think that's honestly, this is where I kind of agree with him, honestly, is Tim Duncan is real basketball player shit. He's not really embodying the Hooper spirit in a lot of ways. And that's kind of the strength of him.
One thing, though, we didn't touch on, and I don't know that the dude touched on this, is how much of these definitions are bound by the system that they're in. So I'd say Tim Duncan playing that way and like us knowing him that way has a lot to do with him being in the Spurs forever.
Yeah, the Spurs, real basketball player factory over there.
Yes, yes.
Except for Mr. Steal Your Wife. I got two more I want to run by you, Katie. The 2000 to 2002 Finals MVP was Shaq, won it three times in a row. I guess the closest approximation to Giannis in a lot of ways, although obviously quite different and larger. Where do you got? Do you have any? Are they all the same for Shaq? Is there a difference in between the three? What do you got for him on the Hooper to basketball player scale?
What does Shaq scale think now, Shaq is? Yeah. A Hooper, I think.
Yeah, I think he's a Hooper. Like if he was a.
But I could also see that like offending him. Like if he was asked to talk about this on his show,
sure,
I could see him being like, no, I was a basketball, or like he'd be like, I was a Hooper and guys now aren't that. But I don't think he'd say guys are also basketball players now. He would just say everyone is nothing.
I think I'm thinking about if Shaq were 6'6" and was like a guard, he would probably have Hooper spirit, I think. Like, he'd be far more towards, like, the Kobe end of things than he would be towards, like, the, you know, the LeBron end of things, I think. You know? Like, he would finish off the plays. He would throw down the sick dunks. Again, more individualistic, I think. So, I'm going to go he would be Hooper as well. But, you know, I could see him also getting offended by that. You're totally right. The last one I want to throw to you, Katie. The 2004 Finals MVP is someone we don't have to talk to, so I'm going to, what we don't want to talk about, but I am going to throw this to you. 2004, the NBA champion mascot that year was, of course, Hooper, the mascot for the Detroit Pistons. Is Hooper a Hooper or a basketball player, Katie? This is the most important question we've had so far.
I think all mascots are Hoopers in that they are more personality-driven by job description.
You don't think there's something to the side of they're part of the team, they're rallying the whole sort of collective together, they're the binding force at play here?
No.
Is there to I don't make assign them a basketball player?
As much value as you do in that sense. I mean, you could argue, I guess you could argue some mascots are more technically proficient at like gymnastics, you know, and
sure.
Those like understanding angles and like velocity and things like that in their jumps, maybe only two. And then would you then assign those ones as basketball players in that sense? But Hooper's a Hooper.
Yeah, I guess you could also just apply this to like horses in general. If you're thinking about the animal kingdom, are horses Hoopers or basketball players? And I would argue they're Hoopers. They're the stars of the show. They are the ones doing the jumps and doing the sick tricks and the dressage. So yeah, I think Hooper for Hooper makes a lot of sense.
Thanks for the sick plug for all the people to tune into the equestrian events at the upcoming Olympics. The only events that matter.
Yeah. Yeah, don't watch the Olympics unless you're watching the horses. They have no stake. They're not the reason why it's happening. Otherwise, boy, it's gross. But yeah, that brings an end to one of the more bizarre segments we've done. Thank you to Rashad Phillips for filling the segment for us. We really appreciate it. And we promise we'll retire this insane discourse this week. Hopefully it dies forever. I have a feeling we're going to have Hooper or basketball player jokes on NBA internet for the next long, long time. But, we can deal with that when we get to it. Coming up, there's no more break. We're just getting to the posters of the week, Katie. It's the end of the show. Why did I think there was a break there? This is like episode 70. What the hell? Posters of the week, best in NBA social media from the last week. I got to go with, although I'm worried that I'm going to steal yours. I'm confused now. Yours just says Giannis 50 piece. I'm not sure what that applies to, Katie. But I was going to go Giannis FaceTime with Thanasis.
Oh, no, that's not mine.
Okay, yeah. Giannis and Thanasis going on IG Live from the locker room last night. Obviously, Thanasis was in his hotel room because he's isolating with COVID or a close COVID contact. I'm not sure what the case positivity was there or not, but felt really bad for Thanasis not being there. Of course, now all the Antetokounmpo brothers have titles, which is cool. The Instagram was very, very special, and Thanasis seemed as psyched as he would be if he were in the room, which was quite nice to see. So that's my poster of the week. And now I'll turn it to you in this very mystical sort of three-word line you've given here. I'm very confused as to where you're going.
It's not very mystical. So Giannis is being driven through a drive-thru at Chick-fil-A by his girlfriend, who appears to be pregnant again, which is cool. On Giannis's lap, he has the Larry O'Brien between his feet. He has his MVP trophy. He says that he stole them. He's like, I stole this from the team. Because like, he's driving around with them. It's today. It was this morning. And sure. He's like, can I get a 50 piece? He's like, I don't want 52. I just want 50. And then he's like, is it okay if I film you? Which I thought was very nice because Americans generally are so obsessed with like, the idea that everyone wants to be filmed or there's like no, you're not like smashing people's personal space every time you turn a camera on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're always just an extra in whatever content is going on.
Exactly. People don't check. And I really, especially for someone who's like, you know, the woman is like, for some reason, I don't know, maybe this is how they're doing drive-thrus there, but she's standing beside the car with like a headset on. And she's like, yeah, for sure. And he focuses on her and he's like, 50,000 people are watching right now because he's on Instagram Live. And I had to clarify with the Dime Slack with Matt Allentuck and Bill DeFilippo what a 50 piece meant. First, I was like, what restaurant is he at? They let me know it's Chick-fil-A. 50 piece in this sense is referring to, I guess they're little sandwiches, like biscuit sandwiches.
Okay.
So he ordered 50 of them, which to me is just incredibly impressive. And then he ordered a drink, Sprite and lemonade mix, no ice.
No ice is the cool move there.
The last fact is that these little sandwiches come in fours. So you couldn't actually get 50. So imperfect math from this perfect champ. So he's asking them to just like fiddle with it a little bit.
Give him
bit,
only
just
a half for pack for the last one. Yeah. Two separate sandwiches on their own. Man, what a king. That's fantastic. As we speak right now, he's on IG Live. it's at the top of my feed right now. So good for him. He's crushing it. We love Giannis. We're very happy.
He's probably
Giannis.
Eating all those sandwiches still.
Yeah, he's probably housing the sandwiches for content purposes. At least I hope that's what's going on. Katie, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for hanging out as always. I love it's the best part of my week chatting with you. It's fantastic. Anything you have to promote?
Yeah, I have a huge feature coming probably next week. But I'm finishing it today. it's about, I guess I'll do a little teaser. Oh, a big garbage truck's going down the street. Oh no, it's a Haagen-Dazs truck. Damn.
Ooh, get out there. Okay, Katie, end the podcast. Go run after the truck now.
Yeah, that's my promo. I just promote Haagen-Dazs for free. It's about a program that the NBA has with Harvard that's very cool and really funny. NBA players are, I'll just tease this, they've gone to school at the same time as Channing Tatum, Shakira, LL Cool J, a lot of other like crazy athletes that I can't name off the top of my head, but it's a big feature about this. So you could look for it on Dime.
Amazing. I can't wait to read that. That's going to be awesome. For me, you can watch my weekly show called CEBL Weekly on the Canadian Elite Basketball League on CEBL Plus. It's like $18 to subscribe for the year. You get lots of extra bonus stuff in addition to that show. It's lovely. We also have Locked On Raptors. That's what the draft is in a week. there's lots of stuff going on over at Locked On Raptors. Lots of smart folks checking in, telling me about draft prospects. I'm not much of a draft person myself, so I've kind of just relied on smart people to tell me what to think, and it's worked out swimmingly. So go and listen to Locked On Raptors. We'll have you covered going into the draft next week and then free agency after that. That's going to do it for today's episode. As always, a huge thank you to our wonderful crew at Space Monkey Media, including producer Dylan and our new social producer, Nick. Fantastic to have Nick on board. Very excited to work with him. And we look forward to those sweet, sweet posts going out from the Basketball account, which, of course, you can follow at Basketball with two H's. And then go to our Patreon page as well, patreon.com/Basketball with two H's. You get our mailbag episodes. You get Discord access. You get to be our best friends. We love you deeply if you are giving us that Patreon cash. And thank you if you've signed up. If you haven't yet, now is the time. The end of the season is here. It's the perfect time to sign up for more basketball content. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week with another episode of Basketball?